Welcome back. I'm Ismail Akhadin. This you're with Cape Talk. This is your Cape Talk. Please get involved in the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp note at 072-567-1567. Call us at 021-446-0567 or tweet us at Cape Talk. Remember, get involved. Be part of the conversation. Next up, I would like to introduce Giulietta Talevi. I hope I pronounced that right. I have a soft spot. I have a soft spot for Italians, but let me just. I hope she's Italian, and I must say I've never met her, so you know I don't want to get too. But Giulietta, thank you very much for joining us. Giulietta,
thanks for the invitation.
Companies. Is it correct?
I'm technically the money and investing editor at the Financial.
At
mail,
the financial
companies,
bill.
Yeah,
but let me just so welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You know, let me just say, you know, we're expecting a wave of bankruptcies in the wake of this in the wake of this virus and the lockdown. So we went into the lockdown, in my view, with the economy on its knees and without resorting to catastrophism. There's a sense that the economy may collapse completely. Now, you know, let's just hold back from that. But now is not the time, I believe, to play politics or to racialize the crisis. This is a crisis. Let's not make it a drama. And so there's no doubt that poorer, more vulnerable communities may be more adversely affected. And we know that. And, we're not denying that. But for the country to get back towards a resilient economy, we need to make sure people have jobs to go back to. Now, let me just say this very carefully. You know, we know that spaza shops play a very important role in our communities. We know that small businesses play a very important role in our communities. But one of the things we need to do is get people back into employment so they can earn, some money to put food on the table.
The wheels.
So where do we start with this? Now, let me just, before you go any further, let me just ask you, you're a working mother, is that correct?
Yes, I have a 19-month-old baby daughter.
Well, you know, I'm very lucky. Let me just check my privilege right there and say that, you know, as a single person with no, you know, I really respect working mothers. So, but what do you think? How do we go about this? How do we go about getting these machines of this that economy going again?
Yeah, Ismail, I think you've got to have the whole chain of command, as it were, working for businesses. And I think you've got to put aside ideological issues. Mm-hmm. You've got to do whatever it takes to support business. And I think that's got to come, you know, you've seen it from the banks and you have seen it from National Treasury. In fact, I was listening to the show and one of the news articles was the loan guarantee scheme that's opened now from the government.
Right.
So it's 100 billion. Well, it'll go up to 200 billion rand, but there's a guarantee of 100 billion from National Treasury. And it's essentially loans guaranteed by government to businesses with turnover of less than 300 million rand. Okay, so we are talking about fairly big companies.
Right.
I guess soft loans to help businesses through this crunch. But it can't just be loans from banks. I think it's got to be the whole ecosystem. So, for example, municipalities, rates and taxes. And, you know, you could have payment holidays there, or you've got to have discussions with municipalities and how they're going to assist landlords.
I like that idea of an ecosystem, the ecosystemic approach.
Yeah, we're interconnected. I mean, you know, the Small Business Institute, I don't know if you've come across it, but it's run by some really dynamic people. And they actually came out with a letter today pleading President Cyril Ramaphosa to open the economy. And they talk about the numbers, 3.9 million employees in the small business sector. And, you know, these do include spaza shops, which would probably be considered a micro-enterprise. And the micro-enterprises can employ up to four people. So that's, you know, four families already, if you think about it. SMEs, they say, are 98.5% of the companies in South Africa's economy. That's, you know, the small and medium-sized the companies are the backbone of South Africa's economy, and we're all interconnected. And so that's why I think ecosystem is a good way of looking at it.
Right. I get, yeah, you know, let me just remind our listeners that we have on the line with us Giulietta Televi of the Financial Mail discussing some of the way we can get our economy back going again. We would like you to be part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp note at 072-567-1567. Call us at 021-446-0567 or tweet us at Cape Talk. So, but let me get back to Giulietta, if I may. You and I are not part of policy making, but we have some ideas.
Exactly.
So how do you, you know, it's done out there.
Get us to run the government.
Well, you know, I stay away from that. But how do you think government should proceed with getting this? What do you, you know, if you and I were asked to give them advice, what would be the first two or three things we'd get them to do?
I think, and we've argued it for it in our editorials as the Financial Mail, is that de-racialize the issue. And I think that was a big misstep where, you know, the tourism fund is going to allocate assistance based on a BE scoring criteria. And I think that it just drove a wedge between South Africans, and it made desperate people feel even more desperate. Well, the government doesn't have my back because I'm the wrong skin color. And I think that's just the wrong thing to do. You need to help businesses, whatever the color of skin of the owner, out of a fix. And because the employees will be from all walks of life and all demographics. So, you know, I think drop maybe the BE codes. I mean, this is a temporary issue, and you have long-term strategic thinking towards inclusivity in the economy, and I understand that, but this is a crisis, as you said.
This absolutely correct. You know, we don't need to get white people to get back to work. We don't need black people to get back to work. We don't need good colored people to get back to work. We need to open the economy, and we need to get going. We need to get the economy going. We need to get productivity going, manufacturing, production, distribution, consumption. And the minute we start, you know, with the sliding scale of who to help and who not to help, who goes to the front of the line, who not go, we will just reproduce the inequities in the system. Is that a fair assessment from my part?
I think so, and it creates ill harmony and between ourselves, the South Africans. You know, we should all be putting our shoulders to the wheel. I guess it's a collective effort to be responsible for each other, which is what we're being asked to do, and now in this pandemic. So you know, let's pull together and feel that we have a common purpose. Right. I mean, it's really hard in this country. You know, we've got such inequality, and we've got you know, such a brutal past, but we have to try and strive, I think, for a sort of a more harmonious future between all of us. You know, the numbers are really dire, Ishmael. I mean, I think you had some economists on your show on the weekend, you know, those that have urged the president to open up the economy. And in our FM last week, we had Adrian Gore and a series of people writing for us who mentioned that between 45% and 75% of small businesses might not survive a lockdown of between 1 and 3 months. I mean, those are catastrophic numbers. So you can understand this desperate call using responsible measures to get the economy to reopen, to allow businesses to reopen and be maybe responsible for their employees and their own safety. And I think people are by and large pretty good at, you know, assessing their own risks and generally being responsible.
Yeah, well, I think that one of the things that, you know, it just come to mind just as you spoke there is we hear about the United States getting, you know, going through historic unemployment. And here is the probably the most powerful economy in the world. And yet, what we seem to miss is that we limped, our economy limped into this lockdown.
Yeah.
And so you know, I'm not saying the U.S. will bounce back immediately, but, you know, there's a very deeply embedded productivity in the U.S. that they can bounce back. We limped into this lockdown. Mm-hmm. It'll be a lot more difficult for us to get going and then to build on that. And then there is the need for social harmony and things like that. So we have to make decisions based on how to get us going again.
Yeah.
Not how to break us up and again.
Yeah, and I think this talks to what economists have been pleading for namely structural reforms. I mean, you know, that sounds so abstract, but it's in terms of small businesses, it's the red tape that they have to deal with. And I know people are probably going to disagree with me on this, but I mean, one of the reasons the U.S. economy is so dynamic, and you can argue that it's quite brutal and it's a survival of the fittest, is that it has really fairly relaxed labor laws. So you can fire people easily in the States, which actually means that a business is going to be that much more inclined to hire someone. If they know that they've hired a dud, okay, let's put it bluntly like that, then they'll, but they can sack that person equally easily. And this does probably sound quite brutal, but it makes them much more willing to take someone on. Whereas I think you have lots of prevarication companies, you know, it's so, the process of getting rid of someone, and especially in a small company, you can ill afford an incorrect hire. It's so difficult that people are less likely to actually hire new employees because, you know, the red tape that they might have to go through to get rid of that person is terrible. And in fact, it's actually proven the case in France. You know, they've relaxed the labor laws a little bit. Macron is the great reformer. And it has had a really positive impact on their labor market and on their economy. And I think, you know, we need to do the things that would make us more dynamic as an economy once this pandemic sort of cuts the swathe through.
Well, you know, before I let you go, let me just say that, you know, one of the things that I find terribly annoying is that we've been talking in this country about making, let me try and get it right, improving the ease of doing business.
Yeah.
In my mind, we've been talking about this for two decades.
Yeah.
And it just seems to me we're not getting it right. The ease of doing business. It's become like a throwaway line, and it's even losing its meaning. And so this is the problem. Which is one of the problems.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, but maybe it's because the ease of doing business has now become this kind of metaphysical concept, as opposed to, you know, it's kind of the basics. Is when the ease of doing business is where you can phone up your municipality, or you go to the Home Affairs Department because you have to renew a license or something, and you don't have to spend the entire day queuing there. You know, you can do it in half an hour. Right. I mean, these are like that. All has a knock-on effect, I think, down in the economy. Or a municipality that keeps good accounts, knows what it's doing, knows how much it's spending on maintenance, and it's got a maintenance budget, it's got engineers in charge, it puts out a tender to fix potholes or the sewage system, whatever it is, and it gets the companies involved, and the municipality is maintained, and people get their services. I mean, that's just basics. But if you got that right, that's ease of doing business, where you live in a city where your interactions, I think, with government are not as traumatic as they can be.
Correct.
Where there's not so much frustration.
Absolutely.
And that's just kind of doing the basics right. And that's ease of doing business. But I think it's a hard thing to get right, because everything's become so sort of politicized. Municipalities, councillors are all, you know, it's a vicious political system of patronage, and you've kind of lost sight of what municipalities are there for, and that's to serve your community.
Before I say goodnight to you, let me put a damper on you. You're a bit optimistic with thinking that you're relying on municipalities that do their job properly. So I want to thank you for coming on at short notice, and for the discussion. It certainly has been a lot more, better and more accessible for us lay people. The economists, you know, speak with these big words, and they confuse us a lot. But thank you so much for coming online with us tonight.
It's a pleasure, Ismail. Thanks for having me.
Okay.
Cheers. Bye.